Hi, I'm Tilty. I'm the lead designer for The Secret World, and you're listening to Beyond the Veil.
You are now listening to Beyond the Veil, a production of Holosuite Media. Tune in to our live show every Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
The following live broadcast may not be suitable for all ages. The views expressed in this show are solely those of the individual providing them and do not represent the opinion of the station, website, or any affiliated partners. Audience discretion is advised.
Hello, good evening everyone out there in the game and around the world listening to us right now live on twitch.tv/HoloSuite Media, or those of you who might be downloading us from iTunes and Stitcher in a few days. Welcome to another episode, episode 105 of Beyond the Veil, The Secret World, your premium source for anything connected to The Secret World. The most awesome game ever. We're going to be talking about a whole bunch of stuff tonight. We're going to be telling you about a poll, the role-playing poll that's currently going on. Actually, that's going to close, I think, in about an hour. We're going to be telling you about the in-game events that are going to be coming your way in the next month or so. What new items were released in the store this week. And we're going to be talking more about the gear in the game. But before we get into all those juicy details, of course, I'm not going to be talking by myself because that would be just way too tiring. With me tonight, we have, first and foremost, Xander. How are you doing, Xander?
Boo! Kick that Xander bum off the stage! Boo!
Random. So, I take it you're good?
Yeah. No Reese's Pieces, though. You're fired.
Okay. Bye.
Okay, you're hired.
Hi! Next up, we have Gigabyte. How are you, mate?
Too bad. Thank you, Antita. How are yourself?
A bit tired, you know, as the count would say, a little bit under the tooth.
Oh,
that would be long in the tooth.
Long in the... Okay. I was close, though, in a general ballpark. How are you doing, Rowan?
I'm doing great. How are you doing, Antita?
Yeah.
How many different answers can you have for the same question?
It just goes to show we're not all listening. I'm actually kind of excited because this, as of today, this is my second highest month for blog hits.
Nice. Congratulations.
Yeah. Well, my third highest was last August.
Really? Last August? Wow. Well, August must be your month then.
I guess the highest month was last September, and it was from pretty much as far as I could tell a single blog post. Anyway, so yeah, it's kind of cool.
And what is that blog?
The blog is called "I Have Touched the Sky" at blogspot.com.
So is that because of the amount of posts that you have put on, or simply because of the topics that you've picked to talk about during the month of August?
Well, I have blogged every day this month as part of a larger community project called Blogist, put on by the Agronaut, Belgast, on Twitter. He encouraged a bunch of people and kind of put some incentives out there to, you know, blog on a daily basis during this month, which he has actually done since April of last year. He's posted once pretty much every day. I don't think he's missed any. And so, yeah, he thought it would be a cool idea, you know, something kind of like, I don't know if you guys have heard of the Newbie Blogger Initiative that was started by SIP of BioBreak and has been continued by a couple other people, Scree and I can't remember the other guy's name. I'll have to look it up. But anyway, it's just basically a gaming blogging community kind of thing to encourage newer people and some veterans to see what it's like. And so, yes, my volume of posting has been much higher this month than it has been in the recent past.
That's pretty cool. Yep. Very cool indeed. And
why don't you tell the people at home what topics you've been covering?
Oh, well, let me see here. There's been a little bit about Secret World, a lot about WildStar, which is kind of my personal new hotness, and, you know, just general blogging. And like today, I talked about why is my blog called I Have Touched the Sky. And stuff like that. So sometimes it's actually kind of hard because I'm like laying there at like 11 o'clock at night. I'm sure Gigabyte can relate to this. And I was like, I need to put a post out before I go to sleep.
Yeah.
And so some of the posts have not been the highest what I would consider the highest quality of posts. On top of the fact
today.
That I'm posting using my phone. Instead of a regular computer, which there are some people that do that all the time, but I'm not in – well, now I'm in the habit of doing it, but up till now have not been in the habit of doing that because the little tiny screen is not conducive to it. But yeah. It's worked.
Well, that's cool. That's really awesome.
Now, I heard that you have visited another podcast from Hollow Sweet Media. It's that one with the Data and the Cronies and the Goonies and the Toonies.
I did. Last week, I was able to participate in Data Cronies, which is the WildStar podcast from Hollow Sweet Media, with our own Fei Fu and his buddy YOLO.
Mm-hmm. Your announced show is going to be relaunching, going out to the streams right after this one.
Oh, cool.
So viewers, beware, you'll end for a scare.
Cool, that is pretty darn cool. You have some other information to share with us tonight, Rowan, and it concerns the TSW community, right?
I do. The Secret World RP here, TSWRP, TSW... RP.com was putting on a forum poll this week, and it's just about closed, I believe, and so I kind of feel I don't want to completely steal their thunder, but it was kind of cool. It was a question about what alignment you consider your main character in TSW. For those of who are not initiated in this sort of thing, alignment it goes back to Dungeons and Dragons and has to do with, you know, lawful versus chaotic and good versus evil. So you have nine categories. Lawful good, which is kind of like it sounds, like Superman would be lawful good. Neutral good would be somebody like Batman, for example. Chaotic good, I'm trying to think of a good example, like
that
V
would be
for
Batman.
Vendetta. Somebody who's good but cares nothing for the laws of society.
That would be Batman.
He kind of, I think he's considered generally neutral good, where, you know, he is a vigilante, but he's not a he's not necessarily a like the Punisher or somebody, you know, who's a just, you know, taking justice completely into his own hands.
Depends on what day of the week.
It does. And, you know, of course, there's the old legend, or not legend, but the fact that he doesn't use guns anymore. But he did. Mm-hmm. In fact, let me see here. A better example, they kind of posted earlier this week about using Star Wars characters, where Yoda was lawful good. Luke Skywalker is more neutral good. And like Qui-Gon Jinn would have been chaotic good, where he's good, but he's not following the rules. It had as example for lawful neutral, C-3PO, who is, you know, just like it sounds. I mean, he is on the side of society and is neither good nor evil. True neutral, they used Watto from the first episode, which we won't generally mention, but he's just out there for himself. He's neither good nor evil, and he's generally law abiding but not too concerned with it. And they have Han Solo as chaotic neutral, being he's like outside of the outside the law most of the time. He's kind of in it for himself. If he does good, it's because it benefits him in some way. I think that his character evolved, but certainly during the original Star Wars Episode 4, he was definitely chaotic neutral. Lawful evil is, of course, Darth Vader or the Emperor, you know, imposing his will on society. Neutral evil would have been Jabba the Hutt. Where he's a gangster, he benefits somewhat from, you know, rules and society and stuff like that, but he is kind of between. And then for some reason, whatever, they used the hunter killer droid turned bounty hunter IG-88 as chaotic evil, I guess, you know, completely lawless, but
Wouldn't they use and then Boba Fett? Evil. Wouldn't he be better?
I don't know. I would almost say Boba Fett would be neutral evil or chaotic. Well, I don't know. Or even lawful neutral. I'm not really sure. But anyway, the point is that you kind of get an idea. So the poll, as it turns out, is only about 11% of the people who voted were considered their character lawful good. What do you guys, out of that, maybe we should talk about what you guys think. Antita, what kind of alignment do you think your character in TSW is?
Oh god, I'm not that big into roleplay in this game at all. I have not engaged in it at all.
Fail!
I know. I'm just way too engrossed in the storyline of the game in order to create my own, but I do see myself, you know, as doing it at a later point in time. But when it comes to this, I think it'd be fun, you know, to kind of contradict like my normal impulses, so, you know, to go on the side of evil, like completely like chaotic evil. I think it'd be fun to play a character like that.
You couldn't do it in this game because you have to help people in order to progress in this game. You can't be evil in this game.
I know. I'm talking about the role-playing aspect of it.
Yeah, but he wasn't necessarily talking about the role-play. He was talking about you, how you see your character within the storyline of TSW, not in the role-playing.
Well, either way, you know, whether you consider yourself... I agree with you that within the context of the game, you're generally good.
Let's say that, yes.
You know, between neutral and lawful, almost, you know, you're consistently helping people out. See what I put. Maybe I should. I put that my main character, which is Lone Star Bell, pictured here in the video, is neutral good. She kind of works within the framework of the Illuminati, but she frequently goes against orders in order to get the job done, doing what she thinks is right. And that's kind of how I see her. You and anybody that works with the Illuminati and interacts with the handler. Oh crap!
Kirsten Geary.
Kirsten Geary. I don't know why I drew a blank. I could picture her, but I couldn't remember her name all of a sudden. Anyway, she's always kind of berating you for being a bleeding heart, and helping people out when that's not really your job, kind of thing. And so between that and my general attitude towards the Illuminati, I consider Lone Star Bell to be neutral good. So I think within the framework of the game, the PvE framework of the game, I would agree with Xander that you really can't be evil in the game.
Yeah, I took that to be something completely different. I took it to be in the role-playing aspect of the game, not particularly my character in the game as it is right now.
I think I would agree with you.
Neutral good.
Cool. How about you, Xander? How would you consider Xander Hayes to be?
Okay, let's see how we can do this. When the moon is in the second house and Jupiter, I don't know the rest of the song, but he is neutral good because he kicks ass for lots of bullying in the Nightmare Dungeons. Nightmare Dungeons!
So, Antita, what did you feed him tonight?
Nothing. I'm just thinking, maybe we shouldn't. I have had that drink.
Oh. Okay, Gigabyte, what about you? How do you see your character from an RP perspective?
Well, whenever I create a character in these games, I always like put a little bit of myself into it. I'm an experienced D&D player, so I'm quite familiar with these alignment charts. Quite familiar with the alignments of D&D and stuff like that. So I've always gravitated towards chaotic good. You know, everyone always strives to do well and to do you know, things that are good in people's minds. I always try and play it in a way that I'm doing it in my own way. I don't like to be constrained.
No rules for you, huh?
Cool. No rules. Do mm-hmm. your own thing.
That's right.
Cool. All right, so going back to the stats, total of 55 people voted in this poll. Like I said, about 10%, not quite 11%, or 6 people were lawful good. No one was chaotic evil.
Stupid.
No one was chaotic evil.
Pew.
Chaotic, lawful good is quite often referred to as lawful stupid by D&D.
Yes, lawful stupid. Mm-hmm. there were 2 people who were neutral evil, about 3% of the vote, 3.5%. Several different alignments got 4 votes, or 7.3%. Lawful evil. So we have a few evil people out there in the RP community. A few true neutral people. And a few lawful neutral people. Now, the next highest number of people was chaotic good with 9 votes and 16%. And then just a slightly more than that, 11 votes were chaotic neutral, or 20%. And the vast majority of people consider themselves neutral good, so you guys are in good company. About 15 votes, or 27%. I would say that, that's kind of how people go with this game. I don't think that there's, you know, you're kind of like you're following the rules, but you're doing your own thing, and it's not like Swoter or the old Knights of the Old Republic or Dragon Age or something, like one of those BioWare games where you can be evil and try to decrease your alignment or whatever in game. And certainly not the way that I don't know. So you're not really you're generally helping people in this game. Sometimes against orders. And so that's about it. Anything else?
Nice. Yay. So that poll will be closed shortly. So if you guys are listening to us live right now, I've posted the link to the tsw-rp.com poll. Do hop on there and, you know, give it a vote.
And if you're into RP in general, it's a good place to meet other people that are interested. Like I said, the link is www.tsw-rp.com.
Yep. And it's in the chat channel. Oh, yeah. I'm good.
That's right. An RP community in the TSW is very much alive. I know that they do have a tournament of secrets. Exactly, I can't really tell you much more about it, but if you go into the forums, if you go onto the forums, into the role-playing section, you will see a whole bunch of information about it there. So, you know, if you're interested in role-play, this might be a game for you if you're not already in it. Okay, so moving on now, as I've said before, we're going to be talking about a whole bunch of stuff. First and foremost, about the gear in the TSW. There's been a lot of new players and, you know, returning players, which might even be more important to the game. We have, during the last few shows, talked about the weapons and weapon synergy and decks. Now we'd like to touch up on the gear. So what kind of gear do you actually get as you progress in the game? Is it good enough? You know, where can you get the best quality gear in game? And so on and so forth. So, as you all know, there's currently there's four major zones. There's Solomon Islands, Egypt, Transylvania, and the new one, Tokyo. Solomon Islands, as we've talked about before, is divided into three zones: Kingsmouth, Savage Coast, and Blue Mountain. Egypt, Scorched Desert, and the City of the Sun God. Transylvania, the Besieged Farmlands, Shadowy Forest, and Carpathian Banks. So each one of these zones has a certain requirement when it comes to your gear. And talking about, we're not necessarily talking about just weapons, but of your talismans as well. The head talisman, the major talismans, and minor talismans as well that you basically equip onto your character. And that actually improves your stats. Say it does more damage, it heals for more, or it can provide a combination of things based on the glyphs that you equip on those talismans. So for Solomon Islands, we've talked about this way back when, I think, when we talked about the individual zones in the game. And when you first started out in Kingsmouth, obviously you started out as quality level 1. And then you progress your gear to the point of QL3, even QL4. And that is enough to kind of get you onto the next zone, Savage Coast. Savage Coast is usually for QL4, 5, and then Blue Mountain, QL6. In each of these zones, you have vendors that sell blue gear that is at the level of the zone that you are in. So in Kingsmouth, for example, right behind the sheriff, the police station, you can find vendors that will actually sell you blue gear corresponding to the level of Kingsmouth. Also, what are the other guys? What are the other sources of gear that you can get outside of drops in zones?
Some quests or missions give you gear.
That's right. Like, for example, you actually get, just by finishing the first mission in Kingsmouth, you are given a weapon that is a starting weapon that you can
new
then upgrade.
Shiny.
New shiny. You can also get weapons blue, quality blue, in dungeons. So, for example, in Polaris, you can get you can get blue QL3 weapons and talismans that are on a higher level than the green gear that you might get outside of the dungeon.
You can also get them from random Arachi vendors strewn about all over the lands of the secret world, courtesy of Arachi.
Council of Venice.
Why did you've got enough sequins, certainly?
Yes, they are bought for sequins. And sequins you basically get not only as drops, but also for finishing your quests in that particular zone. And you can buy a whole bunch of things from the vendors. You can also sell your gear that you do not want, or say you just want to be a healer, you don't want to be a DPS at all, and you have received a whole whack of, you know, attack rating talismans that you don't really need. You can sell them, you can disassemble them, you can do whatever you would like to do with them. So did you guys, like, when you were just starting out, as you were what would the word be, when you were progressing in the game from Kingsmouth to Savage Coast, did you find it difficult to adapt in the Savage Coast? What gear level, what QL level was your character at that point? And was it hard, like, doing the missions there?
I think it depended on where you were. Everybody seems to have issues with the initially. With the Akab, the bug-like creature, spider-like creatures that inhabit the northern part of the Savage Coast.
Uh-huh. Figure out their weakness, which I'll explain after.
Well, yeah, I mean, obviously, but that's before you figure out their weakness. And even then, I know a lot of people that had issues that just don't like that part of Savage Coast, and then going into Blue Mountain with all the Akab that are there. But, you know, if you start out, I would say if you start out going, you know, to the left, as you come down the hill, you know, there's the hell stuff right there, the Overlook Motel. You can generally handle stuff in that area coming right out of Kingsmouth.
Now, if you want a really good way to kick the Cubs' buttocks, all you have to do is put your back against anything solid, like a rock or a tree. And when they go to do that little dash forward attack, which always puts you on your bum, it will give you no damage because it did not hit you, because it will interfere with their dash. And it'll look like it happened, but it didn't. You leave them dashless. Isn't that so dashing?
Yeah.
I think what Rowan was saying is true for pretty much any zone, to be honest. I mean, it's clear that each zone is designed in a certain way and to be played through in a certain way, because each zone has those areas where you start off and the creatures there are a lot easier to take than if you went off to another particular part and get your ass handed to you. So I think that's true for any of the zones, really.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, that's why whenever you're questing, each mission actually tells you the difficulty level for your character. That doesn't mean that it's going to be the same for your buddy who's playing with you and who has played it for maybe 2-3 months longer than you have, or even days in some cases. It will tell you whether it's easy for you, whether it's hard, whether it's devastating. And just by going from one zone to the other, you might actually encounter some missions that will be devastating. Admittedly, not nearly as many, but some will be normal. Most of them will be normal for your character, and then some will be very hard or hard. Of course, you know, it really depends on how long you stayed in the zone prior. Because if you're like me, I took my time in Kingsmouth. I was playing my heart out in Kingsmith, and I think I did so many missions there like 10-15 times over before I got bored, because when I first did the missions in Kingsmith and figured, well, I don't have anything else to do here, I ventured into Savage Ghost, and I didn't do the missions right there at the beginning, but I went off and started looking around, and I started doing some of the missions that were a bit more difficult for me, and it kind of scared me, so I ran back into Kingsmith to the mobs I knew until I actually got some more abilities and higher QL weapons. So I think I actually ventured more into the other areas of the game as I was like QL 5 or 6. So I had a pretty easy time after that. But yeah, it kind of scared me, to be honest. And I just ran back. It was like, no, mommy, they're hitting me hard. So yeah, it really depends, because you do have players out there who play this game for like 3 weeks and already they're doing Nightmare Dungeons. It's like, what? Mm-hmm. They
well,
really
I mean, it
burn
depends on
everything.
How you look at it. It depends on how you look at it. I mean, these people could be, you know, quite enamored with the game and just consume the content that quickly.
Mm.
I know when I first started and started playing this game, me and my cabal at the time were quite sort of hyped about it, and we did grind through quite, or, you know, blast through quite a lot of the content very quickly. So
yeah, it's all down to how what your play style is and how much time you actually have to devote to gaming of a particular game. Most of the times I didn't have like lot of time. I would be doing it maybe a couple of hours a day, not even. But I was also, I loved the storyline, so I kept redoing certain missions because I like the cutscenes, you know, and the Kingsmith today is still my favorite part of the game. Probably because of that, and I know it inside and out. Yeah. So we've talked about the Solomon Islands, but for like the Egypt, two zones in Egypt, you actually can get by having QL 6 to 8. Those two zones are Scourge Desert and City of the Sun God. You can comfortably do them as quality level 6 to 8. You should be fine doing the content there. Of course, the dungeons as well over there, like we said, and the vendors will give you blue gear of that zone's level. So, you know, it's always, it might be a good idea, like if you do not do dungeons, if you are more of a solo player, that can be another way for you to get better gear, okay? You can actually go to the vendor and then buy it for sequins and some packs in some cases. It's not going to cost you a lot if you do a lot of questing, if you do a lot of missions, if you put quite a bit of time into the game, you like the storyline, so you keep on redoing certain missions for that, you'll have quite a bit of sequins. So you should have absolutely no problem getting those blue weapons or blue talismans from the vendors. So if you prefer to do solo game, solo content, you know, this is another way that you can gear up as you progress through the game in your storyline.
Another thing we haven't mentioned in terms of gearing up is the availability of kits, both talisman and weapons kits that you can use to craft. You talked earlier about breaking down stuff. Well, you can obviously use those materials to craft different quality gear that can help progress in that sense. And those are usually fairly economical in the auction house. The finished gear is also somewhat economical, but you may find that the materials and kits themselves are better value if you're willing to do the crafting.
Yeah.
That's right.
Bigger bang for the buck.
thing to remember about toolkits is the more time you put in grinding through a zone, the more of those will drop, because they are pretty regular drops in terms of, you know, the loot that you get. And obviously, yeah, if you've been breaking down stuff, because I mean, in my experience, I mean, going through the zones, the mission gear can pretty much see you through most of it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you spend your time sort of breaking down that extra gear that you pick up, or even gear that you're replacing, by the time you get through to, say, Egypt, for instance, you could quite easily craft a decent amount of gear yourself.
Oh yeah, for
That's
sure.
definitely true. The other thing to point out is that blue gear is not actually, other than the weapons, and even that's kind of iffy, blue gear is not actually better than the green gear. What it is more focused. So if you're into group play, dungeons and nightmares and what have you, then, and you want, so therefore you want to focus on either healing or tanking or DPS, then blue gear is awesome. It will, you know, it'll turn you into a glass cannon or, you know, a lumbering giant or, you know, the best healer ever. But if you're soloing, if you gear out completely in blue gear and it's all DPS, you're that same glass cannon, only now you're basically, you know, stuff's going to be two-shotting you unless you can get it down even quicker. Or you can obviously balance with some of the blue gear with or some of the DPS with a little bit of health or something like that. But what the green gear does for you is all green gear has health, and then some gear has more health, and then some gear has some attack and some healing, and so you can it'll auto balance basically. So if you have a level 3 green talisman that has a little bit of health on it and a little bit of attack or something like that, it's, in terms of quality, is really just as good as that same level 3 blue item, which will be completely focused on health or attack or healing.
Yeah, it's worth mentioning. Those are all very, very good points that you've mentioned, Rowan. Also, just to kind of draw a parallel between the gear that drops or the gear that you buy, you have that much more control over the gear that you actually craft yourself. So if you think that, you know, your character needs more, you want to do tanking and you want to have more block in your, you want to increase block or you want to increase health, you don't really have a good health talisman with a block rating, you can craft that yourself. You can, with the gear that you have on, you can also switch or you can replace glyphs in most of the gear that you get. You can replace the glyph that's already on there, unless it's from a nightmare, unless it's from a dungeon. A dungeon drops, you can't modify them. It's like you get what you get. But if you craft it yourself, you can actually stick another glyph on there. You will destroy the glyph that's on there already. So that's something to be mindful of, because you don't have a glyph extractor. But, you know, if it's a health talisman that you really need, but it has some kind of like maybe physical defense or something like that, something that's not really of use to you in a dungeon or maybe while questing, in your opinion, you can just change it. So, you know, give it a go. Crafting is very, very easy in this game. It's not that hard. Mostly it follows common sense. You do need to know the craft patterns, but those you can easily find online.
Well, that's easy. You take out the box, you open the box up, you put the macaroni in the water, you put it on high for 10 minutes, and then you take the pouch, when you drain the water into one of those water drainers, and then you get the noodles, and then you put a little bit of wet, cold water on it, to, you know, so it doesn't stick together, and then you drain that out, you put, you know, a spoon of butter, and I think it's a half a cup of milk, and then you open up the craft package, and then you put the craft into the pot, and then you stir it, and then you serve it. It makes 4 servings.
Yeah.
And if you're crafting gear in the secret world, it's actually even easier than that.
Exactly.
Yes. It's not nearly as complex.
Hey, for those of you out there who would like a free, in-game t-shirt, send us your crafting recipes, the best craft macaroni and cheese recipe to beyondtsw@gmail.com. The best one will get a prize.
Yep, go right ahead. Do it TSW style.
Oh no, that would be like put the cob in the bucket.
Hey! Leave it to them. If they wanna win a prize, they'll do it. They can do it in any way they wish. Send us your best recipe.
That's awesome. Okay.
All right. I'm just clicking on the link for the Secret World Crafting that was posted in the Twitch channel. Yes, there's a number of crafting websites out there that are pretty good. One of them that I like to use is, I'll just link it to you now.
While she's doing that, another option, if you're not super into crafting, as long as you have the mats, you can use the add-on Ultimate Crafter, available through curse.com, and that will help you automatically create the patterns that you need and stuff like that for the gear you're interested in.
That's right. Crafting has not really changed at all since the game started in 2012. So, or rather launched live in July of 2012. So, any kind of website that you find with a TSW crafting system on will pretty much provide you with the same kind of information, maybe in different order, but eventually all the patterns will be identical because, well, they need to be identical. They have not changed. So, there's a wealth of information out there when it comes to crafting. But going back to gear...
I had one more thing to say.
I should say,
even if you don't like to craft in TSW, too bad. A lot of the missions actually require you to use the craft screen, which I happen to find fascinating. I like it. I like the fact that it's like, and it's not one of those like, oh, hey, I need you to, make me 10 copper pants. It's actually, putting stuff together and like notes, you have note fragments or fragments of paper or something like that. And you can put them together and create something that will take you to the next step in the mission.
Yeah. Only people with fetishes have say the word fascinating and pointed ears too. He has a crafting fetish, I think.
I think you're being illogical.
Nice! You got credit.
Fraud 54 says, yes, Funcom has not yet given us the ability to craft alpaca socks.
That is a problem.
But you can always win yourself slightly used underwear.
Probably everybody that cares already knows that Fraud 54 is Kentucky Windage. Frank yes. Calhoun.
Yes, you're a very good friend. Going back to the gear in the Secret World, as you progress through the game in Transylvania, you will get as drops and reward QL10 green gear. And then, of course, you have your elite dungeons. That any elite dungeon will be dropping QL10 blue gear. All right. So you have 8 elite dungeons, and you have to complete all 8 of them in order to be able to fight the gatekeeper. Which, upon successfully combating the gatekeeper, you will be given access to nightmare dungeons. And this nightmare dungeon, this is where the best gear will drop, or at least it will offer you the possibility to collect the best gear. How? By using the black bullions that you get from every successful fight with any boss in the dungeon. Some give you one black bullion, some give you two, some give you three, some give you six. So you will be collecting these black bullion, and then you can actually buy custom QL10 purple gear and weapons from your faction headquarters. Custom gear is like the ultimate endgame gear in this game. So if you like to have the best gear out there, you will be working on that kind of gear, custom gear. Everything that is upgradable to 10.5.5. 10.5 refers to the upgrade of the talisman. So say we're talking about a head talisman that is at 10 QL10 purple, it will be 10. Once you upgrade it, you upgrade the talisman to 10.1 purple. And then you can upgrade it all the way to 10.4. Likewise, if you upgrade the glyphs are the second stat of that 10 point something point something. That second point something refers to the glyph level. So say you have 10.4.4. Head talisman, that means that the talisman itself has been upgraded to 10.4, and that last one refers to the glyph that has been upgraded all the way to 10.4 as well. Apart from that, there is another way to upgrade to the highest level gear, and that is to full 10.5s, 10.5.5. And the only way to do it right now in the game, which is like the end game gear so far, is to actually do the New York raid. New York raid at this moment in time in game drops the only two upgrade kits in order for you to upgrade your talisman and weapons all the way to 10.5s. And that is for the talismans and weapons, it is called the Criterion upgrade. And for the glyph upgrades for 10.5, it's called Astral Fuse. Now, Criterions can drop pretty frequently, and usually there's at least one or two drops per raid, successfully completed, of course. However, astral fuses can be very elusive. So there's a lot of players there who keep on raiding day in, day after day after day in order to get those astral fuses and criterions in order to get the best gear possible. Of course, when you go into the raid with 10 people and only 4 drops, drop at the end, only one might be the astral fuse. Only one of you lucky. Only one out of 10 of you will be lucky enough to get it. So you can see why some people keep on raiding the New York raid in order to get the best gear possible. Of course, there's another aspect of this game through which you can actually improve your gear, and that is through PvP. Have any of you guys been doing some PvP and upgraded your gear that way?
I did. Then I realized you can't upgrade it even more. Then I had to go back and get all my stuff again.
Yeah, so you didn't really like the PvP route of upgrading your gear?
No. Tends to be a little bit easier, I suppose. But maybe that's the payoff, because it's easier. You can only upgrade your weapons so far, and then it's useless. And then all that hard work you put into upgrading your gear through PvP turns out to be a buttload of waste of time, because you have to go back and rebuild your weapons all over again as custom weapons, so you can keep upgrading them.
Anyone
currently
else?
Currently in game.
Yeah, Xander's right in saying that currently you can, any gear that you get via PvP, it will be referred to as Venice gear. Venice gear right now is upgradable only by using black marks. Black marks are only obtained through PvP. So if you choose to buy a Venice piece for black marks, that means that you can only upgrade it by spending more black marks on the upgrade kits or on the glyphs that you then again upgrade using black marks. So if you don't really intend to do a lot of PvP, our advice would be do not buy any PvP gear, okay? Especially if you are one of those players who does both PvP and PvE. We would always advise, and as a matter of fact, we always advise any of our new members of the Cabal who are starting out, save all your mats and go down the custom route, because we have learned it the hard way that you have to, you know, go back like Xander said, and basically Venice gear became useless. It was just sitting in our inventory because we weren't
just
doing
as
PvP.
Useless as the cancel itself.
Well, not really, not really. Because let me tell you, with the newest, I would call them improvements, that or tweaks, call them as you wish, that have been done to Fusang in particular, you are actually able to gain about 75 marks minimum a day. Okay, now of course. That has to mean that, you know, you need to have a little bit of luck as well, not by getting into it, but based on what kind of situation is going to be facing you when you get into Fusang. There's three dailies that you can do every day in Fusang. One is to kill 10 of the enemy, and you are actually given 10 black marks for completing that. The second one is to actually take over an anima well. You get 5 black marks for that. And if you take over a facility, you get 50 black marks. Now, if you're also lucky enough to be which is not hard, trust me, if you actually spend a little bit more time, sometimes even, you know, 15 to 30 minutes in Fusang, you can then collect 1,000 white marks, and then you have to get out of PvP anyway. You have to exit Fusang, and then you can exchange those 1,000 white marks for 10 black marks at your PvP vendor, at your faction headquarters. So,
and you need 100 black marks to get a weapon. Right?
Yes.
So that takes you 10 days to do that.
How? It would take you 2 days of doing those. You'll have stuff
left
over.
If you did it once a day, you said the minimum. The bare minimum.
You can get... If you're lucky to... If you're lucky to complete all three dailies in PvP a day, you can get 75 black bull... sorry, not black bullion, but black marks. So you do that for 2 days, and okay. Yeah. What the whole point is, it in my opinion, it has been made easier in order to progress with PvP gear, with Venice gear. So there's hope for, you know, that yet. Considering that it's been announced that the next issue after Tokyo will be PvP dedicated issue, and that they have already started working on a path to 10.5 for PvPers, I would say, you know, it's really looking up for all those players who have a whole bunch of Venice gear and are not really sure what to do with it. Now, mind you, if you actually put the PvP stats on those talismans, then the likelihood of those actually working in PvP areas are not going to be that good, because for PvP you need different kinds of stats. You know, you need defense, which, you know, you take DPS with defense stats in a nightmare dungeon, and you're not going to be doing that well, simply because you're not going to be putting out that much DPS. So there's difference in glyphing of PvP gear versus PvE gear, but that's a whole other show for you.
Do the glyphing. Do 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 the glyphing.
So when you guys progressed in the game, how did you guys like plan out your gear? Did you plan it out, like when it came to entering Nightmare Dungeons? And, you know, were you more concerned about the stats, or, you know, how did that go for you?
Well, are we talking through the game, or are we talking in the dungeons? I have yet to successfully kill a single nightmare boss.
What?
We'll have to change that. Right? We'll change your world.
Yeah.
Even on Dortmunder?
Yeah, even on, especially on Dortmunder. We ran a couple of times trying to do Polaris, and for whatever reason, we weren't geared right, or didn't have the right mix, and
Oh, so, man. Yeah, but we do have
then,
to remedy
you know,
that.
I kind of like, I guess it wasn't right as I started having hardware problems with my computer, but yeah, it just was one of those things that I was more interested in doing story stuff I understand it's a prestige thing, and I don't knock anybody for doing it. I wouldn't mind running, you know, nightmares, but really the only reason to run nightmares is to get better gear, and the only reason you need better gear is because you're running nightmares. It's kind of a chicken and egg scenario. You can get all the way, at least you could up to, until Tokyo. I can't tell you anything about that either, but up through the, you know, Venice, you could conceivably do everything in all green gear, level 10. You don't need level blue, or you don't need blue gear. You don't need purple gear. Although those things did drop from things like The Last Train to Cairo gave everybody a purple headpiece that completed it, and Venice I think was a belt or something. I can't remember now. Or the middle minor
piece.
Yeah,
issues 6, 7, 8, and 9 all of them completion give 10.1 purple talisman. Yeah.
Right. So, which is good. And then there are other situations like Cat God and stuff like that where you can get 10.1 purple stuff, although that tends to not be upgradable like you were talking about a little bit ago. But, you know, in reality, you can get through the end of the storyline and do pretty much everything in Transylvania that's not an elite dungeon in green gear.
I feel another song coming on. I made it through the dungeon. Go ahead.
Yeah. And you know, it's one of those things that I, one of the reasons I want to emphasize it is because the game does not require grouping to successfully quote unquote complete. You can go through all the stories and all the missions and stuff like that on your own, assuming that you're willing to adapt the way you're playing a little bit here and there. You can successfully complete everything with just you, or maybe you and a buddy or something like that. It's cool to go through the dungeons, and certainly I would encourage everybody to do so at least once just for the story. But it's not absolutely necessary to be in, you know, this uber eye level gear like you like running the raids in World of Warcraft or something like that.
Yeah, definitely. You're absolutely right at pointing that out, that you don't necessarily, well, you don't really, as you pointed out, need to have the highest end gear to actually complete any kind of content. We've talked about this before. We had this discussion on previous shows. So,
1 second. One of our viewers is asking us, what is PvP?
The name of the...
The thing is, PvP is player versus player. You know, especially for a lot of new people coming in, even if this is their first MMO, I know the person, Davachi, is, you know, poking fun, but I figure I'd clarify it. There are a lot of people that come in that don't know the slang, so, you know, it might be helpful if we actually use the acronym and the actual full name. So PvP, for those that are new that don't know it, is player versus player. PvE is player versus environment, and NMs is nightmares and stuff like that. This Getting to Know Your Moment is brought to you by Xander at Holosuite Media. Tune in Mondays to Fridays.
And Davichi for asking those questions.
We're excited to see Davichi's latest cinematic masterpiece.
I know.
Oh, yeah. Especially that one with, like, massive DPS. You still owe us that screenshot.
The yeah, teaser. I can't wait for the cutscene that has this random person walking through and flipping the bird. This is an adult game, Davachi. I know you can do it. You can get away with it. There's some random person in the background walking by, flipping the middle finger.
Yes. Just trying to link. Here is a link, Fraud54. This is a link to our article that I did after we got shown the Tokyo expansion, and you will see references under what else to PvP, as was said to us at the time that we did the press tour. So hopefully, if nothing, this is, as always, it's important to say what we were told is always in good faith, but, you know, the company, the execs of the company always have the right to overrule what the dev team would like to do. So it's, as always, open to changes as, you know, the game masters and the powers that be see fit. So always take it with a grain of salt. Intentions are good, but they don't always have to be the reality as it happens in the end.
Oops, I'm disconnected.
Uh-oh.
Ah, look what Davachi says. I'll flip the bird to the player just in another way.
I thought that's always what nightmares were about.
Yeah, he also said he'll have your name, so stay tuned. Random Xander will be walking past the screen flipping you the finger. Oh, wouldn't that be cool if he was wearing Blissing Veil? And it had been like maybe some combat scene or whatever in the background. I'm like, here I am directing a cutscene. Imagine now, the player is scanning the battlefield. You see heroic battles of good versus evil, good versus filth, echoing in the background. All of a sudden, you see a dashing young blonde, eye patch wearing, gun toting hero blistering through the filth of Mata, blasting everything as he randomly turns around, flips you the finger, wearing his shiny Blistering Veil outfit, and then going back to the fight, just to fall down a manhole.
You're so giving him ideas, aren't you?
I know, wouldn't that be cool? Oh, we should like petition that to be a contest. You know, help direct a cutscene. Not like Da Vinci
sure.
needs any help.
And Da Vinci
right?
now goes like, oh my god, not that.
He's like facepalming me right
no,
now.
No, no, no.
Bunch of the armchair quarterbacks or something. Armchair directors. Well, what he should have did.
Kind of like those how whatever movie should have ended, right? How this cutscene should have ended.
Yeah. I love the cutscenes with Damon Kyoto from Tokyo. I think that's a freaking great character, and I love the cutscenes.
Fraud 40. Big damn hero. Yep, just like Jane from Firefly. Big damn heroes.
Let's be bad guys.
Yeah, David just says watching the background is always good. Always some things there that you might not expected. Yeah, like little Emma.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, without any spoilers, yeah, there was a reason why she was there.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
Since issue 6 had came out, The Last Train in Cairo, you know, it was out for a while. We've seen that final cutscene like a million times over, like so many times. And all of a sudden, we get a patch, and there, you know, lo and behold, in the cutscene, the final cutscene, you see little orphan Emma putting her hands out or doing something, and then poof, disappears.
Yeah, she was in two cutscenes.
And she's also in the cutscene earlier when you're in the dungeon. If you look in there, you see she's in one of the dungeons. Like, all of a sudden, everyone's freaking out. Hey, wait, I know her from Transylvania. And lo and behold, issue 7, A Dream to Kill, it's all about her.
Yeah, if only we could have like a tease or a screenshot or something. Please. That would be really, really cool. Get the, you know, get the people again, like buzzing with anticipation over the new content that's coming out. And
we gotta talk to them. We gotta say, hey, you know, how about we have like a tweet or a picture series, like once a week, get them to send us a picture of what they're working on, so that way we can like put it out there.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of things that we would like to see from the game. One thing that we've mentioned on the last show is Galactrix. If you've heard the show, Galactrix has brought it to everyone's attention that the new mission pack that's supposed to be coming out soon, TM, has actually been placed, part of that mission pack has been placed on test live servers for subs and grandmasters of the game to go there to test the content, to see where the bugs are, to try to break it so that once released, that it's released with as few bugs as possible for everyone's enjoyment. Not sure we had maintenance today. I haven't been able to log on to the Test Live server to see if more content when it comes to those that mission pack has been released onto the server. But at least we know that the content is out there. It is, at least part of it is currently on Test Live servers. If you are a sub or a grandmaster of the game, you have access to Test Live servers. So go on there. Do check it out. If you, of course, don't like spoilers, don't go. Just wait for the mission pack to come out. Based on everything that we talked about last week, it was the general consensus of all of us on Beyond the Veil that it will probably be out by mid-September or roundabout mid-September. So that leaves additional 2 weeks for the dev team to work out the kinks and to do everything in order to release it. Hopefully, you know, it will come at that time, because everybody's so excited about, you know, issue 10 that should be released right after that. Or I shouldn't say right after that, because that would imply that it's going to be released, you know, within like 24 hours or a week. We don't know. The thing that we all like from Funcom, from our dev team, TSW dev team, is that they don't release content unless it meets a certain quality standard that we as the community have come to expect from them. So we never mind waiting. We didn't mind waiting for Tokyo for as long as we did. And I think we got a hell of a deal with Tokyo, and we got great, great quality content there. So, you know, just keeping our fingers crossed that everything comes sooner than soon, TM. All right.
Hashtag blame Tomium.
Yes, if it doesn't hit, we're just going to blame Tomium because, well, he said it. Hashtag
what
blame
Tomium. What is the current progression on our content so far? When did issue 9 release?
At the beginning of July.
And
I was
when
gonna
say
we're around the anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then when did Lost and Loathing? Was it Lost and Loathing or Love and Loathing?
Love and Loathing.
When did that one release?
It was like May, or wasn't it? Or late April?
Love and Loathing was
released you mean the more
after,
recent one.
After.
I'm sorry, I was the other one before.
No, those were investigation missions.
So
that was released sometime in July, actually. End of July.
So issue 9 was the beginning of July.
Yes, mind you, most of the dev team has been on holidays for a few weeks. So, you know, if we get the new mission pack in the next couple of weeks, it is somewhat feasible to say that maybe, like, best case scenario, by the end of September, we might actually get issue 10 out. As always, these are all, like, you know, calculations on our part. They're not based on any more information that anyone who goes on the forums has. So, yeah, it's just the best guess.
Now, I'm going to explain to you exactly how we do these calculations, okay? Now, me, Antita, Rowan, and Gigabyte, we all, four of us, take a paperclip. We write down our dates on the paperclip. We throw it into a bucket of ice-cold water, and then we dump it on some random person's head, and we'll see which date floats to the top. This is how we calculate. Speaking of which, hey, who did the ice water challenge?
Yay.
Yay. Just totally off-tracked everything, right? You can see mine and Antita's up on HoloSweet Media on the YouTube channel. You can see Gigabyte, yours is up there. And we challenged the whole... Okay, me and Antita did. We even challenged all the Beyonders out there to do the ice bucket challenge.
That's right. Of course, you can always go down the route that Sir Patrick Stewart did and, you know, just forgo the ice bucket challenge for the donation to the ALS.
The Scotch bucket challenge.
Yes. Of course, we did both, simply because we think it's more fun that way. Mm-hmm. You know, and you get to challenge more people. It's like, well, if you don't want an ice bucket on your head, donate. Yep, but Sesma and Tomium have been challenged by Xander and yours truly, Antita. So, you know, it's up to them. They should have already completed their challenge because it's supposed to be done within 24 hours. We have not heard anything yet.
And by this, also Fraud54 and FC Devachi, since you guys are Beyonders, you come to our shows all the time on the live shows, you've been challenged.
And everybody's like, yeah, not again.
Watch. Look, our ratings are dropping like skyrocket. It was 20-something, now we're down to 9. They're leaving.
It's like, no, I don't want you. No.
I don't want ice water.
Cool. All right. Now, just as a slight detour back to the TSW gear... If you're one of those end gamers who actually likes to plan out your gear, instead of actually using pen and paper, there are a few calculators out there that might actually make your life a bit easier. One I'm going to paste into the chat here. Do check it out. There's a couple of them out there that I know of. I tend to use this one. So you can basically plan out your gear. You can export it as well, especially if you have a Viper's Deck Manager. You can really... Sorry, not that. But you can basically plan out your gear when it comes to the role you're going to play. In this is for dungeons, mind you. You can use it for scenarios as well as PvP or PvE. It doesn't matter. So for any role out there, for any situation in TSW that you want to plan out your endgame gear, what you're going to be working toward, you can use this calculator. It will save you a whole bunch of black bullions. Because it will get you geared up much faster if you don't have to reglyph something. So do give it a go and do check it out.
Can I say something totally random?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, why do I even bother asking, right? I just love the fact that, you know, here we are doing the shows and all of a sudden random horse-headed people running around with, you know, Ballistic Veil, the full Ballistic Veil battle armor system on.
Oh, yeah, I love that. Awesome.
I love it when I'm in Nightmare Dungeons and raids and stuff like that, watching people, you know, running around in Ballistic Veil, you know. I'm like, squee, I love it. And then people are like, thanks for the outfit. And like, they're thanking me. And I'm like, squee.
Yeah, actually, it seems to be a very, very popular outfit. I see people wearing it, if nothing else, like pants or a top, you know, at least one part of that particular outfit. So, yeah, I'm really glad people are liking it.
It's also number 4 in the current, in the What's Hot slideshow on the store.
Ooh.
Well, that's for what's new, right?
No, it's what's hot.
Really? Is that something new?
I don't know. It's the main, you know, when you first open the store, it says what's hot, and it has a bunch of different things. It starts mostly with issue 9 stuff, and then, you know, like down near the bottom, it says item of the day, item of the week. But yeah, number 4 is, or the fourth slide in the sequence is Ballistic Veil.
And of course, now my shop won't open.
Go to the in-game.
So
one.
That's item of the day, item of the week.
I'm number three store. Item number 3 like of the in-game store. Antita, go to the in-game store. In the game.
Ah.
And she's going to it online.
Okay, so while she's doing that, hey Gigabyte, what's going on with PvP?
Don't know. recently there's been a thread posted up on the TSW forums by Audrey Owens. It's kind of an interesting little question there for the PvP people. Basically, what sort of event would you want for September? Shows that I'm awake, isn't it? Basically there's eight options. And I'm gonna really piss off a lot of people right now. Battlestar Galactica style boxing. Not a big fan of the most recent Battlestar Galactica, so I'm not entirely sure what that is.
They just get in the boxing ring and you challenge whoever ticked you off, and then you guys beat each other up until the animosity's gone, and then you can go back to being a fighting force again. It's something they do in lots of the armies. You know, if you're in the army, so it's a high stress job, and like maybe some Joe Blow just like totally cheesed you off, and you can't really take it out on the battlefield, and it makes that battle tension. So just a way of blowing off steam.
Okay.
So is there a place to do that, boxing? Or are they referring to calling people out to do the
probably
content?
Like that, yeah.
Oh.
I think it's just calling people out. I'm just looking through. There's on the actual forum post itself, they link to 2 other threads that give you more information about these little bits and pieces. Although I'm just reading through it now, and a call out dueling session. They've got master and servants, which again, not too clear on. I'm guessing
there's more. There's a couple of threads that you see all these suggestions. These 8 suggestions have actually. One of them has, or basically all of them, have been suggested at what point in time by different players in those 2 threads. So this is just a compilation of all the suggestions for, you know, what can be done. And then people just can go on there and get more information from those couple of threads.
Yeah, I'm just going through and I'm kind of just give people a quick idea as to what general ideas that they're kind of hinting towards there, because you do have to kind of skim through these other posts pretty thoroughly to try and find those options. Essentially, the master and servant thing basically means that you've got one person playing the master, 2 people playing the servants. The master can't be targeted in 2 servants fight, as opposed to when the masters can be killed if they're caught in AoEs and stuff. The others are pretty easy to kind of get around there. Tag teams, pretty much everyone knows what that is. Random weapon of the month, which I thought was quite interesting, kind of limiting people to a single weapon out of the ones that they use, which would be quite interesting, especially given some weapons are out of some people's comfort zones. Manhunt. That'd be quite interesting.
Big Game Hunter. I'm guessing that'll be kind of the same kind of thing as Manhunt. And the last two I thought was quite interesting. Seven Deadly Sins, which would limit people to inner wheel abilities only. And Death by Default, faction default decks only. I thought that was quite interesting, kind of an interesting limitation on PvP.
Yeah, you could say, like, I win because you play your Paladin deck and then kick everyone's ass.
Yeah, and actually that's the one that is in the lead right now with the majority of the votes. Death by Default, faction default decks only.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want, you know, if you find, like, Seven Deadly Sins...
Okay.
Our dog barking. Sorry.
Our dog agrees with the two.
We have someone at the door, and our doggy is going completely loco. Loki's going loco. Yeah, so do join the poll and make sure that your vote counts if you would like to participate in September's PvP event. They do say, the organizers, that, you know, they can't really promise a monthly PvP event, but that they will do their best to create them when they can. Right now, they're only monthlies. Since the monthly PvP duel tournament has stopped, the PvP community has kind of rallied together and has started doing this. And TSWDB.com has also had a number of PvP events in Stonehenge that were really, really good fun, and there were some really cool prizes to be won there as well. So do join them. There's definitely going to be some prizes as well for this PvP event. Definitely. So what else? What else do we have? We also have some new items in the store this week, right, Rowan?
Actually, a bunch of leather racing jackets. In various colors. The female ones have kind of a flame pattern going up the front, where the men's are more blocky with some I don't know what you stripes or basically blocks kind of around the pectoral area, if you will.
Pectoral.
They actually look pretty cool, and one thing that I like about them is that there seems to be a definite, while there are other variations in the colors, there's definitely, at least on the female side, one that I would say that's the Illuminati one, and another one that's the dragon one, and another one that's mm-hmm. the, you know, Templar colors. That's something that I wish there were more of, or maybe they've backfilled in the past, from the past, but stuff that it's at least a couple of my characters, I tend to keep them faction colored, even though they are not necessarily in a faction uniform. So I like when they have clothing items that are available in roughly the colors of the various factions. So that's kind of cool. Let me see. Is Xander previewing them?
Yeah, I'm trying to preview them, but unfortunately, what it looks like on the store doesn't look like that way in the game. I'm previewing the gray one with the blue lines, and the blue lines are like a teal green. And I did the hour equivalent to an Illuminati one, and just 1 second. Bring it back up again, but it looked like pale. Like a really pale blue. Like, I'm looking at it, it's more on the white scale than it is on the blue scale. It could be the lighting in Argatha, but those are looking
at
the...
That is pale blue, yeah.
Yeah, those are
It is the more pale blue that I'm looking at now with the female version as well.
It looks better in the store than... Yeah. But then it just might be the lighting.
Yeah, Agartha has very yellow, very warm lighting, and so that may be affecting the colors that you see. But they are definitely racing jackets. It's very form fitting.
I do have to say, that the female one I have actually seen in the Sunken Library on one of the civilians or faction representatives Not sure what they were called. As you
NPCs.
As you come toward the Agartha entrance from the Sunken Library side, as you go down toward the Agartha, there's always three people walking toward you, walking into the Sunken Library, and that the jacket that, like the one that we have received in the store, for available to purchase, was actually on that character. I do believe I have seen it there. So, you know, it's and I think I had even stopped and went back to actually take a peek at that person, and it was like, oh man, that would be such a cool jacket to have. So when this came on, it was like, yes. But I'm saving all my points because I want to have them available for when the mission pack comes out. So whatever is left over is going to go over toward the jacket. Because jackets, not sure about the cost for the guys' jackets. I do think that it's 360 points if you're a free player. If you are a GM, then the cost is 288. And if you're a subscriber, the cost is like 300 something. Deduct 10% from 360. So, you know, being a sub does have its perks.
Yeah, about 320. What about that? To be about 324, I think.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the and for those of, I guess it only helps the Americans, the people with paying in US dollars, 360 points is $3. And whereas 288 points is $2.40, so it's not unreasonable, I suppose, if you're interested in that that fashion statement.
Yep,
not a fan.
No, don't like them.
I like the black one. I like the dark grayish black one.
I would have to look at what the men's ones look like on my male character on Dortmunder, but I'm not really sure that it fits the style of either of my female characters.
Oh, your poppy shot could definitely carry off the green leather.
Yeah, she could, and it might, you know, the flame might correspond with her facial tattoo.
Yeah,
that might work, but I would have to see it on her.
I don't see Dortmunder or Lone Star Bell in any one of these.
The black gray one definitely goes with Ballistic Veil. It's the same colors as Ballistic Veil.
Yeah, it's actually going pretty good together. Yeah.
So this could be your autumn jacket.
Okay.
Sure. The other thing that, never mind.
Easy come, easy go.
I was like all excited about the next item that I was going to do, but there's a Xander thing in the way. Well, you brought up earlier the TSWDB events that they've been doing PvP stuff at Stonehenge. They did an event like that earlier this month, along with a Dress to Kill fashion show of some kind. But coming up on the 14th of September, so in a little over 2 weeks. They're going to have a couple of new events. One is a lethal investigation mission, and the other is another Stonehenge PvP. The lethal investigation will happen at Eldwick Park on September 14th at 10 a.m. Greenwich time, which is only 6 a.m. here on the east coast of the United States. So if you want to get up early.
Bright and early.
Bright and early.
You know what they say?
I'm sure it'll be a blast.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry I was in the way. I was just going to say that Sesmer and Tomium have a very special guest on their live stream tomorrow. And that's going to be on twitch.tv/FunComOfficial. And it's going to be tomorrow at 2 p.m. EST. So go check it out on the forums, you know, to find out what time that is your time. But they haven't leaked who the special guest is. I'm thinking it's Mr. Freezy.
Oh, Mr. Freezy.
I know. I was following Mr. Freezy on Twitter, and then he said something really funny, and I clicked on his profile. And then, did you know that there's actually a Kingsmith? There's actually a Kingsmith website.
Yes, I did.
Uh-huh.
It's a tourist website, and it's pretty It's pretty interesting, actually.
It is.
Yeah, we were looking at it the other day. Pretty cool.
I don't know if
so
that's a fun
comic.
So
I think we
all
ought to make a trip to Kingsmouth and see see the sunny beaches. And
all got to take a trip to Maine.
Yeah. Well, for you, it's just right down the road, right? For me, it's
just
quite a bit of a journey.
Ride, yeah.
So, from what we understand...
You're talking journey, are you? Yeah?
Uh-huh. So, from what we understand, Sullivan Island is next door to Stephen King.
Yes.
Yeah?
I watched his Ice Bucket Challenge, too.
Whoa. It's more than just a little bit of a walk for me, that's for sure.
It's a bit of a swim, but come on, you can do it.
We'll have the fundraise for you, okay?
Just
we're going to have a
fundraise.
Don't go to Polaris, then you'll be fine.
Oh, and it can get a little foggy as well.
Yeah, we're going to do some crowdfunding for Gigabyte so we can send him, you know, a ticket to come over and go to Maine with us. So, next Thursday, we're going to go to the Albion Theater, and then you guys can just put tips in the
donation.
The donation box there. So we're going to try to raise 1 million packs for...
Yeah, I was going to say packs will not be accepted. Wouldn't it be nice if we had a real Agartha, we could just slip along until we got to where we needed to go?
Yeah, that would be cool.
That'd be kind of scary. Just think, you know, like you're like putting like, thermal heating in your, house, or you're digging a well, and like you're digging and digging and digging, and all of a sudden you fall through the forbidden barrier, and you're falling through Agartha.
I was going to say, if there was a real Agartha and we could get there, it means that we would be bee-powered, which would be even cooler.
Oh, bee.
It would be cooler, but the need for it would be even scarier.
Yes, I agree there.
True.
Yes. Oh, and then I could be like so pissed off that I have Aegis system in real life. I go to shave and I short circuit the razor by switching the cybernetic.
You know, it's we talk about how scary it is.
I'd have to switch the demonic to sit on the toilet.
Ew.
Corrupted.
There's the corrupted filth.
Oh my God. Frank Calhoun, Fraud 54, had a really great story that was just after he'd been turned, been beified, I guess, bitten. That was actually kind of scary in and of itself. He was fighting Draug on the beach, as I recall, and they, you know, he got in over his head, literally and figuratively, and drowned. And, you know, felt every minute of it, so to speak, or every second of it, and then discovered, you know, found himself at an anima well. It was something that I hadn't really thought about, that, you know, how much do we experience? I mean, are we, our characters, in theory, you know, their deaths are real. It's just that they're being reanimated by the bees.
So we're like made of honey. That's why I'm so sweet.
I'm sure that's not the reason.
Wow, we got deep there.
Yes.
All right, so the last event that we want to bring to your attention today, we've already done it a couple of shows ago, but it is getting closer, so we're going to be mentioning it again. It is organized or hosted by Nine Swords, Cabal, and Gridstream Productions, and it's called the Jackapalooza event. It will be on Saturday, on 20th of September 2014 at 1900 GMT. It will last for about 2.5 hours. It will be happening at Kingsmouth on Arcadia Dimension at Jack's Tree, which is, if you need map coordinates, if you're not sure where that is, it's 270 by 120 on the Kingsmouth map. There's going to be music, there's going to be competitions, and overall great fun. So, you know, come on and be a part of the TSW's biggest human picture and show the community that we are ready for Jack to come out of hiding again. Of course, the Halloween being just around the corner, so to speak. So that's when Jack is going to come out and we're going to be summoning the big Super Jack.
Hooray! Here comes Halloween, here comes Halloween.
Yes, very soon, your favorite holiday. And with this news, we are going to be closing today's show. Hopefully you found some good hints and tips, maybe a few things that you were not aware of. If you have any questions, feel free to drop us a line on our Twitter, BeyondTSW, at BeyondTSW, or our email, BeyondTSW@gmail.com, and we will do our best to answer it. If we don't know it, we will find someone who does. So hopefully you've enjoyed tonight's show. Thank you so very much for tuning in and for spending this time with us. Looking forward to the next week's show. Hopefully you will be able to join us right here on twitch.tv/holosuite media. Until then, have a great night. Have a great week. See you guys.
See you later. And if you're looking for a cabal,
go somewhere else.
If you're looking for a cabal, we have the Beyond the Veil multi-faction cabal now, and that is beyondtsw.engine.com. So go check that out. We tweet it all the time. So go there and hit the recruitment button and fill out an application. Guess what? All souls are invited. Bye!
Bye-bye!
Broadcast of Beyond the Veil, a production of Holosuite Media. Join us next week at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and be sure to check holosuitemedia.com and iTunes for our remastered shows and more. You can follow us on Twitter at BeyondTSW. If you have any questions or comments, please send us an email to BeyondTSW@gmail.com, and join us next week at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for another episode of Beyond the Veil, a place where hilarity always ensues. Thank you.